Good morning. It's great to be able to share with you today in a special way. I have many happy memories of preaching here over the years. Recently, I came across a picture of Dad standing in front of our old church sign maybe 23 or more years ago, and it brought back those happy memories. I remember when I used to come to preach in the early days, the Dad and Mom would come with me, and Dad would sing a solo and then jump in the choir and sing with that great choir back then as well. It just brings back good memories for me. Now, before we get started this morning, I want to share a fun family activity. But no, don't do it now. Do it at church when you get home. I mean, do it at home when you leave church. Okay, our message today is on the book of James. However, before we get started, I'd like to challenge you to see how many references to nature that you can find in the book of James when you get home. It could be a fun family activity. Now, I'd officially like to get started with something that I hope will make you smile. Church signs 2023. Number one, bring God into the ordinaries of life. Two, when you're hanging by a thread, make sure it's the hem of his garment. Three, in the dark, follow the sun, S-O-N. Four, you've seen the movie, now read the book. Five, prayer is a spiritual exercise. Are you in shape? Six, prepare for summer, get prayer conditioned. Seven, and we're all thankful to Mr. Carrier who invented the air conditioning. Seven, the best thing to spend on your children is time. Eight, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I've seen many pastors with really worn out Bibles, and sometimes it's just their new Bible for the year, but they've already started to really wear it down, and that's wonderful. We believe in UFOs. What? Unity, forgiveness, and outreach. And finally, when the last trumpet sounds, we're out of here. The title of this morning's message is Faith That Works. Faith That Works, and it's taken from the book of James. The key text in James is James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. My favorite verse in James is James 2:26b. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The Greek word for faith is pistis, which means assurance, belief, believe, faith, etc. If we really believe in Jesus, it will show in our good works. The key word here is ethics. The author is James, the brother of Jesus. The theme is a description of true religion. This wonderful book was written between 45 and 50 AD. After the letters of Paul, we come to the general epistles, or letters containing general teaching. Like Hebrews, this letter is addressed to Christian Jews. The object is to instruct them in Christian ethics, Christian morals, and conduct. We should be helping others, and we should seek to live clean lives. That's what James is all about. Before the telephone, homebound people in England would put a sign in their window when they needed help. They put it right up there and it would say, SOS. And then those walking by would know they needed assistance. Nowadays, we have 911, we have cell phones, and special devices we can actually wear to get assistance. As a former member of public safety, I want to remind you of the correct use of 911. Those folks are my friends. There's a room full of them, and they're trying to help you in any way that they can. But it's not to call to find out what time the parade is. You might think, well, parade, government, 911. No, that's not what it's for. But if you have or even think you have an emergency, we want you to call. For instance, you think there may be a prowler in your yard. You're not sure. call 911. Better safe than sorry. You think, maybe, possibly, I have a medical emergency. We want you to call 911. We want to keep you safe. That's what it's all about. And those folks are standing by all the time to help you in any way they can. Now, Henrietta Mears, the founder of Gospel Light Publications, put together a very practical outline or guide for the book of James. She called James a guidebook for everyday religion. I really like that. It goes like this. James, number one, faith, victor over temptation. James 1, 1 through 21. Number two, faith, shows in our actions. James 1, 22 through 2, 26. Three, faith, shows in our words. James 3, 1 through 18. Four, faith, shows in our purity of character. James 4, 1 through 17. And five, faith, shows in our prayer lives. James 5, 1 through 20. Remember, faith comes first. Then, because we love Jesus and we love others, we do good deeds. Recently, I had a wonderful trip to Pennsylvania, to the Lancaster area. We saw sight and sound, but we also did a lot of stuff about trains. We took a train ride. We visited train museums, plural. And you know, my grandson, JJ, just loves trains. I know he's probably downstairs now, but he just loves trains. And, you know, I'm starting to get into a little bit myself as well. He likes to go to train museums and take train rides. And a couple of years ago, he even got to take the Cog Railway to the top of Mount Washington, our highest peak in the Northeast. Well, imagine for a moment, just for instance, maybe we're going to send JJ on a special trip to a certain location. We buy him the ticket. He gets on board. He sits down in his seat. He's all set to go. What does he have to do? Nothing. It's the same way with eternal life. Jesus paid our way, our ticket, all the way to heaven. We don't have to help Jesus at all. It's already paid for. It's a done deal. Isn't that wonderful to know? Now, maybe, possibly along this imaginary trip, JJ sees a fellow passenger in trouble. He rushes over and he helps that passenger. That doesn't help him get to his destination, but he did a good deed. Maybe the conductor says, hey, good job, young man, and commends him. Or maybe it's a really big thing that he does. He says, wow, that was incredible. I'm really proud of you. Come on down the dining car, and ice cream's on me. The important thing to remember, though, is that we do good works because we love Jesus and we love others. It doesn't help us to get to heaven. Jesus has already made that possible. Our 2 points today are number one, practical love, and two, pure living. Number one, practical love, to visit the fatherless and widows in their distress. James 1, 27b. Our church supports a wonderful ministry called Community Chaplain Service that sends chaplains to nursing homes to show love and kindness to residents and to help them receive God's love in their hearts. Our own Chaplain Leon has worked as a prison chaplain to share God's love in prisons, and now he's currently studying to become a chaplain to our VA, where he will help and encourage our vets and share with them the message of God's great love. And if you've been following his texts or emails or Facebook posts, he's just wrapping stuff up, so we want to pray for his next step in the ministry that God has for him. Now, the word visit has three meanings, each revealing a practical nature of Christianity. Number one, to see, means going to see them. Some folks have few or no regular visitors. Recently, I did a funeral for a woman. It was kind of sad in a way because she had outlived all her family and friends. There was no one left she really knew except her attorney. And at the funeral, there were the folks in the funeral home, very respectful, her attorney, who was just wonderful, and myself. There are people near and far that could use a visit, a phone call, a letter, text, or even email. Now, we can't do everything. I've learned that the hard way, but we can all do something. And if you saw those little insert in the bulletin this morning that talked a little bit about getting involved and helping out. Two, our second point is to sympathize. Eric Hayden said Jesus came to sympathize and help the lonely, bereaved, sorrowing, sick, and afflicted. We can all take a little time to listen to, encourage, and pray for those in need. And if you have a need, please call us. We definitely want to pray for you and help you in any way that we possibly can. I have a pastor friend. He doesn't get out as much anymore, but he stays in constant contact with a ton of people through the telephone. That's his way of ministry. He's always calling and receiving calls to encourage and to help people in any way that he possibly can. Three, support to aid in various ways. Maybe we need to write a check, deliver some food, or help someone with their home. Our God has given us all different abilities and ministries. For instance, Franklin Graham has Samaritan's Purse. That's one of his ministries. It's a big one, and they do a lot of good around the world. When there's a major disaster, what do? They bring in a hospital with volunteer doctors and nurses and other medical professionals to help those in need. If there's a different type of need, he brings his team in to do that as well. Right now, we have a team. This is a ministry we support in Maui, and we should be praying for that volunteer team as they seek to help those folks and hand out emergency supplies. Our grandkids enjoy looking forward to working on Operation Christmas Child. And I know that many of the folks and many of the kids like to get involved in filling those shoeboxes. They look forward to gathering those materials, filling their boxes, and sending them on their way to needy children. Those are some of the ways that we can serve the Lord. Our own Lauren Mata travels overseas to help people build homes. I'm getting a little old to climb up on the roof anymore. Sorry, Lauren, but we can all send a little gift when we know he's going over and maybe help pay a little bit, maybe a couple of square feet of that roof. And our church sends all sorts of materials to Estonia. You look out there, there's a container getting ready to go once again. And that's to help the church overseas. Our Caring Center food pantry helps people locally. I said to Kathy one time, sort of joking with her one night, because we were talking about this, you know, if I introduce someone to Ruth Knapp and her team, they'll never go hungry again. My dad had some interesting and unique ministries. One of the things he liked to do was tinker with cars. And sometimes he would help people fix cars. He drove my mom crazy. Fortunately, we're sort of off by ourselves, so we didn't drive any neighbors crazy, but he always had a bunch of old cars that he was working on. And many times, people would come to him, and they'd be all sad. He'd say, "What's the matter?" And they say, "My car died. It's not worth fixing. I don't have any money to get another one." He'd smile and say, "Come on up the house after work and pick one out." They might not be pretty, but they ran well. Many of our young people and adults serve the Lord on missions trips, helping people, camps, and churches in many ways. And our church quietly helps many folks with financial needs, housing needs, spiritual needs, and in many other ways. And most importantly, I know you've told me that you pray for your church, its members, their families, and your pastor. This is faith that works. There are many ways we can help others. It might be as simple as giving someone the gift of a Bible. You can get them at Heritage House. You ask Pastor Bruce or myself or some of the other leaders in the church, and they can get you a Bible, and you can share it with someone in need. The gift of a Bible has saved many people spiritually and even kept them from hurting themselves. I had a friend by the name of Mitch, still my friend, and he was heading in the wrong path. And one night he left camp and hiked down the hill to the nearest payphone. Google it. You'll see what a payphone is. But back then, that was the way to call somebody. He found a payphone by the highway. He called his folks, and afterwards, he noticed, strategically placed in a little shelf there, was a New Testament. He took it back to camp. He read all the way through it and realized how much God loved him. And right there and then and there at camp, with nobody helping him, he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. From there, he went to Northeastern Bible College, where he was my roommate. And now, after many years, he leads a worldwide Christian organization. When a young man went off to World War I, his aunt gave him a Bible. She thought it would help him, maybe keep him safe, who knows. But she gave it to him. He put it in his breast pocket. This is a true story. It's been documented. And a German soldier shot him in the breast pocket. And that Bible saved his life. And when they were going through it, they found out the bullet stopped around Thessalonians. That Bible saved his life. Wow. The second point of our major points is pure living, to keep oneself unpolluted by the world, James 1, 27d. That's not an easy thing to do. In our modern world, this is not easy. There are many temptations all around us. Things pop up on our computers uninvited. Where did that come from? We can be watching a sporting event on TV, and at the break, a very bad commercial will come on. I've noticed my daughters and their husbands, when the commercial comes on for a sporting event, they'll be muting it or closing the little doors on the front so they won't see something that might be inappropriate or bad for them. And it's important to pay attention, each and every one of us, to the books and magazines that we read. Many of our grandkids love to read the comics, especially the color comics on Sunday. I know this for the young people. What's that, newspaper? Imagine, though, comics designed for children in a public newspaper, and sometimes even there's inappropriate things. Now we have to edit the comics before we give them to our grandkids. Unpolluted means three things to the believer. Number one, separated. Two, vigilant. And three, pure. Number one, separated. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word world in Greek is cosmos, and here it's thought of as an entity hostile to God. It refers to an evil world system. It means order or arrangement. We're talking here about world order, or more accurately, the evil aspects of world order. God's given us a beautiful world to enjoy and take care of. That's our responsibility. And God wants us to have an organized society where everyone is protected and helped. But certain things in our modern world are just plain evil and should be avoided. The world isn't satisfied with itself, by the way. It competes for the love of Christians as well. Paul said, "Let us behave decently as in the daytime." Dr. John Walford said, crime, violence, and wickedness are associated with darkness and night. Christians belong to the light, so Christians' lifestyle must be pure and holy. Our second point is vigilant. Jesus said, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Mark 7:15. We need to be vigilant or careful and what we say and do. We want to honor the Lord by our words and by our actions. Now, we're not going to be perfect. Don't ever think that. But we need to do the best we can. And with God's help, we're going to get better. Three, pure. Pure is the positive side of Christian holiness. When we believe in Jesus and ask to forgive our sins and come into our hearts, and when we become Christians, all past sins are forgiven. However, we're going to continue to sin and make mistakes. Shock? No, trust me, look at me. I still continue to sin and make mistakes. So we need to ask daily forgiveness for our sins. Now imagine, eternal life is like a steel girder, not easily, or in this case, cannot be broken. This connects us to heaven. This connects us to God. Eternal life can't be broken. But our daily fellowship is like a tiny fiber optic cable, easily broken. So when we make a mistake, when we sin, that fiber optic cable is broken, and we don't have full fellowship with God. We just need to ask forgiveness, and that connection and that communication and that fellowship are fully restored. James is a very practical book, and it teaches us how to live the Christian life. And each time I read it, I learn something new. You can't study this book too much. It's a wonderful book. There's a lot of information to help us grow in our Christian lives and to help make us better people. It'll teach you how to have faith that works. Retirement time. Jane had taught public school for over 40 years. She and her husband were expecting their first grandchild, and she decided it was time to retire. And so they did. Now they can spend more time with family and friends, maybe travel, maybe take up a new hobby, maybe go shopping. But Jane was a Christian, and she wanted to serve the Lord. She heard about a ministry to at-risk youth in a nearby city, and she became involved. She ended up teaching English as a second language, and she was very successful at what she did. One day she was asked about it, and she said, "You know, I could have just gone shopping to fill the time. But what fun would have that been?" There's real joy in serving Jesus. Jane is making a difference. Perhaps she's learned a little of what Jesus meant when he said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Matthew 16:25. Giving ourselves to the Lord through helping others takes self-denial. Yet one day, Jesus will reward that effort. Verse 27. Let's follow Jane's good example, shall we? Of love for God and for others, no matter what our stage of life may be. There are many ways we can use our unique talents and time to help others inside and outside the church. Oh, let us be faithful to Jesus. The faith we've confessed, let's renew. Let's ask him this question each morning. Lord, what would you have me to do? Work for the Lord. His retirement plan is out of this world. The first step in our journey of faith is to know God personally, to invite him into our hearts. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We've talked to the children and a little bit to the adults now and the teens about God's great love for everyone. Jesus loves you very much. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. But it's up to you to receive him as your personal Savior. Remember Christmas? I had a relative, and I won't say who. They're not here. And it was Christmas, and the gifts were given out. And everyone said thank you and smiled and was happy with their gift. This one relative said, "I don't like that. No, thank you." Guess whose gift that was? That still was not their gift because they didn't receive it. But the others did. And I hope that you'll receive that free gift of eternal life simply by asking Jesus into your heart, simply by believing in him. Let's pray.